Oh my god, I'm late! I'm late! I'm late! I gotta record something quick! Subscribe to the Patreon! Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both of the podcasts, Written Paleo Bites, except not really Written, it's just Paleo Bites. I'm wasting time! Okay. What are we talking about this week? We're talking about, Primal Rage! yeah, Primal Rage is pretty cool. It's a big arcade game with farting apes and lightning-themed dragon dinosaur things. Pretty cool. Links in the description. Have a good day! I'm so late! I'm late for a very important date!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast that stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as it could, and before it even knew what it had, it patented it, packaged it, slapped it in a plastic lunchbox, and now wants to sell it. Subscribe to my Patreon, listeners. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by the always wonderful, the, dare I say, effervescence? I don't know what that...
Not quite sure, but...
The pulchritudinous himself, Stephen Currow, how are you?
I am happy to be back.
Yes, in my apartment now for the first time, because this is actually the second time we tried to record this. The first time, technical difficulties, because what else is new?
Technology, Mercury's in retrograde, who knows?
I think I told you this before, where it's like, even though I'm a man of science and all that stuff, I don't mind astrology, because it's just like... What harm is it really doing with anyone? I mean, it's not like the flat Earth thing.
Oh, heavens, no. Oof.
No. It's like, even if you don't believe that what planets are in what part of the celestial sphere or whatever depends on how you're effective, even if you don't believe that, what harm does it affecting when people do believe that?
Right.
It's sort of like how when people try to tell people, oh, psychics aren't real. It's like, but my psychic told me to do this. I'm like, well, then it's perfectly fine because then you feel more motivated to do that.
Yeah,
even if psychics, the art of psychicism or whatever.
Psychicism.
I don't know what the terminology for being a psychic is. Even though that's.
I think it's just being a psychic.
It's just being. Even though that's kind of phony, I'm assuming. If it just motivates people to do things, what's the harm?
Yeah. I don't know. I once saw a psychic in New York. She told me to avoid. She told me to beware of people whose name begins with M.
My name's. Matthew Donald, actually.
Well, no, you're obviously okay, but I did have a girlfriend named Megan, and that did not end well. So I don't know if that's what she was talking about. I don't know if she picked a random letter as part of the show. I don't know.
That's true. I mean, then it just makes you distrust everyone whose name begins with M.
Right.
So
I mean, I met a lot of other people whose name begins with M. They're not crazy. Anyway.
No, that's true. I mean, you have met me, who is certifiably crazy. In other ways, of course. All right, so dinosaur-related question then, I guess. If you were talking to a psychic and the psychic had a dinosaur-themed prediction about you, what do you think it would be? Or what would you want it to be?
What I want it to be? Well, I would want it to be that I get my own pet dinosaur. I think
I already got you covered that one for me anyways.
Right. You've got Lyra there.
Lyra, yes, hello.
I think realistically, though, it would be... They would make a prediction about me, like, you know, tripping over a dinosaur tail or something klutzy like that.
Of course. I thought you were going to say tripping, give yourself more credit, like tripping over a boa and then finding out it's a brand new species of dinosaur.
Okay, I'll take that too.
Or you're in South Africa, it's just another Lystrosaurus, because those are everywhere there.
Is it Lystrosaurus or Lystrosaurus?
I've heard both ways. I say Lystrosaurus sometimes, but Walking with Dinosaurs says Lystrosaurus, but that seems to be maybe the British way.
All right, Lystrosaurus.
Lystrosaurus, sure, I don't know. I like Lystrosaurus, because it's L-Y. It's Lyle.
Yes. Your bird is named Lyra.
Lyra. Well, some people say Lyra. Is it Lystrosaurus?
I don't know.
No, it's Lyra. Yeah, you're right. Lyra the Lystrosaurus. She's like, I'm not a Lystrosaurus.
It has more oomph in the name.
Yeah. I'm not a Lystrosaurus. I'm like a Psittacus nivicus or something. Hold on. What? I don't know what she is. I know she's a cockatiel, but I don't know her scientific name.
You should look that up.
I've looked it up before. Hold on. Let me check on the air. Hold on. Cockatiel. I was right with Nymphicus. Nymphicus hollandicus, actually.
Yay.
Hollandicus. They're not from Holland.
Holland?
Nymphicus hollandicus.
Were they...
From Australia.
Are you sure she's not like a domesticated version that was made, produced?
No, the wild ones are the same. Well, I mean, there are different breeds of domesticated ones because the wild ones all kind of look the same.
Was there a guy named Holland?
I mean, look, the Dutch, after him? The Dutch were one of the big guys of colonialism, so maybe they were there in Australia. No, it was England who was in Australia. What was a prison colony?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe the Dutch were there, too. I don't know. Oh, actually, this segues well, because, like, scientific nomenclature is confusing. And speaking of which, we're talking about Brontosaurus.
This is true.
So,
one of the great classics.
One of the great classics that, for the longest time, especially since I was born, people were like, oh, actually, it's not a real dinosaur. It's like, and I was like, well, you know, fair enough. And then there's a whole story about why it's now a real dinosaur again. Because back in the day when you heard Brontosaurus, like, oh, this is old timey stuff. Like,
right.
This is like, was it in the first kaiju flick ever, like The Lost World from 1925, where it attacks London in stop motion?
Yep.
That was a Brontosaurus.
I read in the author's note for the Destroyerman series, which takes place in an alternate universe with sailors from World War II. He was like, some of this may or may not be accurate, but keep in mind, in the 1940s, they thought they would think Brontosaurus. Like,
that's true. Even though actually it was well after, 1940s was well after when we thought it was a hoax. Here, I'll get into this in a sec. But this is part of our Bronto-themed October, because last week we did Bronto Scorpio with my friend Christina. Next week, Christina's coming back for Brontomyris, which means thunder thighs.
That's interesting.
As hip people, she and I'll appreciate that. But anyways, so Brontosaurus means thunder lizard, which is a fitting name.
Just an awesome, epic name.
Yeah, thunder lizard, Bronto. Well, Bronto Scorpio means thunder scorpion. I'm like, what the hell?
That's kind of scary. That's very metal.
It is. It's very metal. But type is a diplodocid sauropod. The long-necked dinosaurs with the short legs and bodies and long tails and necks. You know, the Littlefoot ones. Size 72 feet / 22 meters long, 15 to 17 tons. That's big, but at the same time, it's kind of light, too.
15 to 17
tons. That's only like a couple times more than an African elephant.
So...
Maybe sources may differ.
One ton is 2,000 pounds, so it's 15 tons, that's 30,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just wild.
I bet you that's about the same weight as a Colombian mammoth, or like some of those big, because mammals are so much denser than dinosaurs.
Mm. True.
So, like, although, then again, maybe, again, sources may differ. We don't know what dinosaurs weighed, so.
We have an idea.
Yeah, I guess. We know what their skeletons weigh, but then that's just rocks, so. Diet was an herbivore, obviously. Is it herbivore or herbivore? I go back and forth.
Herbivore. I think the British say herbivore.
The only time it really bothers me is when I'm writing herbivore and I have an before it. I'm like, do I do or an?
Well, an. An herbivore.
An herbivore, yeah.
Because you're not pronouncing the H. You're pronouncing it like an E.
Sort of like how, if for whatever reason you say A1... A one ring. You don't say and one ring because
that's
you say
right.
The one like a W sound.
That's yeah. It's
English is fun, isn't it?
English.
although I guess this is Greek to be more accurate. Herbivore.
Plant eater.
Uncle Herb.
Uncle Herb.
Uncle Herb, the guy who's into vor. Don't look it up, kids. Anyways, time late Jurassic, 156 to 146 million years ago. So, like, 10 million year long range, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a very good gap.
Yeah, it is. Location, Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. Basically the Morrison Formation, all of that.
Yes!
We're big fans of the Morrison Formation.
Uh-huh.
As in Morrison, Colorado, where Dinosaur Ridge is at.
Yep, where I used to live right by there, and I used to work there.
I used to volunteer there. Fun times, and I need to go there later soon and see if they need more Megazook books, especially considering I'm going to update the covers soon. Did I tell you about this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the guy who did my book, the cover of my book, Testnauts, I was so impressed by his work, I was like, hey, do you want to redo the Megazook covers? And he's like, yeah.
I think it's going to be epic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Okay, described in 1879, but later deemed valid once more in 2015. Pop culture appearances, oh my god, so many. Notably in the 1925 film, The Lost World, as I said, attacks London at the end, what might be the first kaiju flick in history. It's also in Fantasia, The Flintstones, Ark, Survive Evolve, Jurassic Park Builder, Land Before Time, a fictionalized version of the 2005 King Kong, and many, many more.
Many, many more.
So, here's a dinosaur you might have heard about a million times when you were younger, but then learned it wasn't valid because of a whole kerfuffle with an apatosaurus body and a camarasaurus skull left in the dustbins of history and old-timey paleontology. When I think of brontosaurus, I think about those outdated dinosaur designs where they waded in swamps.
Right,
the tails
right.
are dragging. They're just lazily chewing on those giant cycad leaves.
Well, you know, it really wasn't. It was less of a kerfuffle and more of a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
Because... it was with O'Neill Marsh. He was one of the paleontologists. He
in
was
the Bone Wars,
in
yeah.
the Bone Wars, precisely.
Oh, yeah, and then that's the thing. There's old school and there's brontosaurus, basically.
Right, right.
So, like you were saying, though, like many North American dinosaurs, it all started back in the Bone Wars between O'Neill Charles Marsh and Edward Drinker Cope in the late 1800s, where they spent all those years digging up bones, or more likely having teams of underpaid laborers digging those bones for them while they squat on their ivory throat. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving them too little credit. But.
Marsh basically had a throne. Cope was rich, but spent all his money. He was like poor by the end.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Put the money into the economy again rather than hoarding it on another island.
I mean, yeah.
My boss at my coffee shop that shall be named for legal reasons, you know, we were talking about, like, hey, we're not paid enough here. And then she was like, oh, it was a struggle for us, too. No jokes. You said, like, when I was trying to work here for a while, we had to sell our second house in the Bahamas. And oh, you poor soul.
Oh, no.
But your
not
third,
the beach house.
But your third house in the Virgin Islands was okay, right? That's kind of funny because, like, so some of us are like, wait a minute, you have a second house in the Bahamas? Other people are like, you have a second house?
Right.
Other
exactly.
people are like, you have a house?
Yeah. It's all relative, people.
Like, anyways. So, anyways, these guys that are into Bone Wars, they were hastily naming as many new species as they could. Like, boom, 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 boom.
Uh-huh.
Like, this one looks slightly different enough. Bam, new species. We got to beat the other guy.
Well, with Marsh. He found the Brontosaurus skeleton.
Yes, in Wyoming is what
but
I've read.
But it did not have a head or a tail.
Yes. It was, other than that, though, it was the most complete sauropod skeleton known at the time, actually.
Yeah.
It was missing the head. But that maybe that's why it died. I wouldn't last long without a head.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Anyways... Sometimes this show is too dumb.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just because, like, that comment was like, the information about dinosaurs is extremely shallow, lives rent-free in my head. But that's okay, though. Everyone else seems to like it. So, Marsh believed the brontosaurus is part of a currently invalid clade of sauropods they called the Atlantosaurids. Ever heard of these?
Atlantosaurid. I don't think I know that.
Comprised of the now dubious Atlantosaurus. See what I mean about those Bone Wars studies being hasty. Mm. And Apatosaurus, the latter of which having been described 2 years earlier. Because Apatosaurus came first. That's important. Problems started to rise for Brontosaurus in 1903. Paleontologist Elmer Riggs argued that there wasn't enough differentiating material to separate Brontosaurus and Apatosaurus, and argued the two should be considered synonymous. Since Apatosaurus was described earlier, its name took priority. There's very strict rules
in
scientific nomenclature. So part of the issue came with the fact that while Apatosaurus's head was still unknown, same with Brontosaurus, and there was a... which led to problems when the composite skeleton displaying the genus was unveiled at the American Museum of Natural History in New York in 1905, the first ever mounted sauropod skeleton. This is where the Camarasaurus skull comes in.
Mm.
So, to complete the display, the sculptors modeled the head after another sauropod skull found in the area that had good material. And since the skeleton was fairly robust, they modeled it after reportedly the biggest, thickest, and strongest skull bones, lower jaws, and tooth crowns from three separate quarries.
That's how it happened?
Yeah.
I was taught that Marsh... put a Camarasaurus skull on the head of his Brontosaurus because he wanted to show off to the people for the big unveiling.
That's probably true. That's what I'm saying. These fossils from these other things came from Camarasaurus.
Right.
Because that was the one with the big thick head.
Correct.
And also was the one that was by far the most common. Like Camarasaurus was everywhere.
I've heard it described as the rabbit of the Jurassic.
Yeah, exactly. So he probably got a lot of Camarasaurus material and put it together. Because even though the skull is one bone, it's not always found in one. I mean, it's not one bone. There's lower jaw bar. Yeah, maybe it's not more. What am I talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so they need a head, and they got an impressive head, so they got Camarasaurus. This was how the popular image of Brontosaurus was born, but ironically, this is what ended up killing it, too. As in 1909, a proper Apatosaurus skull was found at the Dinosaur National Monument, which I've also been to, alongside a matching skeleton. Unlike Camarasaurus's skull, which is like a thick and bulky doorknob of a head, this skull ended up looking thinner and longer, like that of a horse or its close relative, Diplodocus.
Bit longer, yeah. Longer skull.
Yeah, this combined with the material that made the museum display looking very similar to a Apatosaurus led to the quelling of Brontosaurus's taxonomical validity for over 100 years.
No.
I don't mind. That's okay. I mean, it sounds cool, but also sounds very old school to me. I don't know. Brontosaurus. I don't know. Something about it just makes me think of the old timey stuff.
It was discovered when paleontology was a new science. Which was a long time ago.
Because, you got T-Rex, and you got Brontosaurus, and you got Triceratops and Stegosaurus. Those are, the classic.
They're the big four.
Yeah, because, this was before Velociraptor got popular.
Right.
Even though Velociraptor, I think, was discovered in the 30s, it didn't become popular until way later. Thank you, Jurassic Park.
Precisely.
And even then, it wasn't until, the 60s when the image of Velociraptor even became famous to paleontology, because that was when they found Deinonychus, which I really want to talk about in the show sometime, because that's probably the most important species ever in human knowledge of dinosaurs.
Precisely.
So, this seemed to be the story for a while. But Brontosaurus was just, that was it. It was done. It was out. With Brontosaurus being but a footnote to the dusty archives of paleontological history, however, some modern paleontologists felt really nostalgic, and from what I presume, vindictive of Pluto losing its status as a planet, and said, well, if we can't save Pluto, we can get this back.
At least we can save Brontosaurus.
At least we can save Brontosaurus, damn it.
I'm still sore over Pluto.
I don't mind, because this is one other thing where we differ about it, because the other thing, Pluto could be a planet, but that means if we count Pluto, we have to count a bunch of other things. We'll never have the 9 classic planets again.
No, there are 9 planets.
No, there aren't. There's either 8 or there's 50.
There's a movement to reinstate Pluto.
Of course there is. If they do, they got to put in Ceres. They got to put in Eris. They got to put in Sedna. They got to put in Makemake and Orcus.
Okay.
All those other ones that are exactly like Pluto.
As long as you get Pluto back, I don't care.
Who cares? It's the same hunk of rock it's always been. It's not like Pluto.
I grew up hearing there are 9 planets, dagnabbit.
Well, then we'll never, even if they do reinstate Pluto, there will never be 9 planets again. I mean, science evolves. That's what makes it great.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know why this one triggers me, honestly.
You know what triggered me? It's in saying that not only, planets entail any sort of object that orbits the sun, relatively or otherwise, because by that definition, that also includes moons.
So, you're saying...
The moon would be a planet. Titan would be a planet. They're called subplanets, then.
Well, doesn't it have to be free of a larger body and order?
That's why Pluto's no longer a planet. That's the definition that counts Pluto out. But see, if we use that definition, then Pluto's out. But if we don't, then not only is Pluto in, but all these other things are in too, including moons. Plus, there's the whole thing there could be the possibility of moons.
A moon orbiting a moon. I've actually thought
sub-moons.
A moon orbiting a moon. Yeah. Orbiting a planet. Sounds like Inception. Planetception.
I love that meme, even though it has nothing to do with the movie, because the dream within the dream part isn't the Inception part. The Inception part is them putting the idea in, but people took the Deception part and made it like this within a this. Oh, man. Anyway, so the paleontologists that decided to reinstate Brontosaurus were Emmanuel Schopp, who I've talked about on the show before. He sounds very familiar. Octavio Medius and Roger Benson. I think I talked about them on the Zibby episode, which is by far the most popular episode of the show because it's a big, long sauropod that's just... Its genus name is ZBY. What the hell? So they conducted an extensive study in 2015 of diplodocid sauropod remains, including at least a few of the several species of apatosaurus, because there's 12 back in the day, were different enough to be their own genus. And rather than come up with a new genus, they resurrected the name Brontosaurus and assigned 3 former apatosaurus species into the genus Brontosaurus, including Brontosaurus excelsus, the type species of the Brontosaurus that was initially described by Marsh way back when.
Yes!
So, some paleontologists have criticized this, but to be fair, it actually has been suggested for a while. And this is the part that you'll like. One of the first times in modern times that this has been suggested was by famous paleontologist and Raptor Red author Robert Backer.
Yes.
He argued that some of the Apatosaurus species were distinct enough being their own genus, including the species Excelsius that later went on to be Brontosaurus. So, yeah, that's...
Leave it to Backer to save the day.
Backer. Always a preferred person over him and Horner. I like my backs rather than my horns. What can I say?
So, isn't Horner the nemesis of the show?
Yes, he is. Which is so funny because whenever I see an interview, he looks like a very nice and lovely man. Like, very soft-spoken. Just his scientific ideas.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh, that was thunder out there. I don't know if it...
Speaking of the thunder lizard.
Yeah, whoa. It knows we're talking about thunder lizard. I'm assuming the listeners can't hear it, but it's thundering. Quite a bit there. We've got some good weather here.
I'm just glad that the classic dinosaur has been restored. And I mean, they're probably going to keep debating it until we're all fossils. But
oh, absolutely. I recognize mainly I've been talking mainly about the human knowledge side of Brontosaurus rather than anything about the creature itself, but it's just a typical long neck. Like, you ever seen Land Before Time? Yeah, that's Brontosaurus.
Yep, there you go. It's very similar to Apatosaurus, so yes. I can see why there's confusion over it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like, because, like, I wonder how many of those big long necks were really there at one time. Like, this is, like, the thing with, like, the whole debate with Pachycephalosaurus or whatever is because, like, for each niche, there is only one thing.
Right.
There's only one species allowed per niche. Otherwise, there'd be too much competition.
Well, I mean, if you look in Africa, there's impala, and there's antelope, and there's gazelle.
Yeah.
There's lots of all these creatures that look quite similar.
But I think they browse slightly different things.
Probably.
Or possibly. They figured out how to work. I don't necessarily agree that there always has to be just one, but or at least the one niche or niche. I forget which one is the one, because it's either niche or niche, one of which is the proper way and the other one is the way that sends you to hell immediately but for saying it. Like,
my teacher in ecology taught me niche, and then everyone else I have encountered says niche, so I don't know. This is another word.
Nietzsche. Like Friedrich Nietzsche, my favorite philosopher.
Nietzsche or Nietzsche?
Nietzsche. Oh, it's Nietzsche. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking. I didn't even say his name.
Nietzsche sounds better, though.
Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche. I was more of a Freudian guy myself.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of thunder out there. Oh, yeah. Listen to that.
It certainly would sound thunderous if a whole herd of these creatures was going by.
I love that scene in the King Kong with the Brontosaurus stampede. Oh, it's so ridiculous.
I feel so bad for those poor sauropods at the end.
I know, because I mean, it's like a car crash.
They're all tangled and weighted on top of each other, and their broken necks. Oh, God.
I don't even know if you see their necks being broken, but I'm assuming they would be.
I mean, just, do you see how tangled they all are at the end? How could they not be?
Like, yeah, they're all dead, and yet the raptor still decide to chase the humans because it's Skull Island.
Of course.
Like, so. But, yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, let's rate Brontosaurus 1 out of 65 million.
I'm going to give it a 64.
64? Oh, pretty good.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
And they revived it. So, you know.
I'm going to give it a 6.4. Because it's boring. I don't appreciate this whole bringing things science back for nostalgia.
That's for me.
I mean, okay, I'll give it like a 15 million. I mean it's all
want,
right.
If you want to do six, it's fine.
Okay, 6.4 million. 6.5 million to make it exactly 10%.
Fair enough.
Even though it really should be 6.6. I know it was really 66 million years ago the dinosaurs died out. Not 65 million, but 65 sounds so much better.
You see, like Pluto, nine planets sounds better than eight.
Damn it, you're right. I'm falling into my own trap. I'm falling into this. Is like, I grew up with 65 million, not this 66. Oh my God, you're right. I'm susceptible to this too. Okay, fine. 6.5 billion.
That, fair enough.
I'll accept my hypocrisy as it is. That's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@methodoncareer.com for any general questions to any of the co-hosts. You can find me on social media at methodoncareer on Facebook, at methodon64 on Twitter, and all the other ones, methodon64 as well, including Instagram and TikTok. I'm on TikTok.
Oh.
I finally dunked myself into the well that is TikTok, and I'm stuck.
I have a TikTok. I just don't do anything with it.
There's some interesting stuff on it. Like, yeah. There's some dinosaur stuff on it, too. There's some science stuff. You just got to get past all the thirst traps. So, but anyway,
exactly.
But I don't know. There's some good stuff in it, too. Although my girlfriend and I just do sometimes watch the thirst traps together. She's pan, so it's...
Well, there you go.
That's nice. It's nice having a pansexual girlfriend. We're watching something, and I'm like, oh, that girl's hot. And she's like, yeah, that girl is hot.
Well, there, you both have something to bond over.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. I do not believe I mentioned Brontosaurus once on like a list of other stuff. But normally, I know when I first started writing it, it hadn't been reclassified yet.
Right.
But by the time it ended, it was. So
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll have to reread it. I don't remember a Brontosaurus.
I don't know. There's sometimes where I'm reading my books and I'm like, when did I have this one in there? How did I know? Like, Lusotitan? Miragaia? What are these things?
Miragaia is awesome.
Miragaia is awesome, though. But I'm just like, why did I add that in there? Just for giggles, I guess.
Well, you were trying to highlight obscure dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. As I always try to.
Because there's way more to this world than Brontosaurus and Tyrannosaurus.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But anyways, I also have a non-dinosaur-related book called Teslanauts. This is around the time people would be like, oh, yes, Brontosaurus. Well, actually, no. They could go to the museum in New York and see that skeleton.
Ah. You should have a scene where that happens.
I want it.
Just as an Easter egg.
The only the sequel to Teslanauts, I'm going back and forth between it being 1924 and 1925, but the only reason why I want to be in 1925 would be because that way they could see The Lost World in theaters.
Do it.
Just be like, why not? It's got that. But then, I don't know, 1924 makes so much more sense for other things, too. Like, Vladimir Lenin died at the beginning of 1924.
Well,
and Russia, you know, is like, and then, I don't know, like.
Why don't you have an opening scene being in 1925 in the theater, and then
flashback.
The whole book is a flashback.
Oh, I could do that.
There you go.
Okay, cool. let's see if that's how it is, listeners. Anyways, you got stuff to plug too, right?
Yes. So I am an educator, but I am also a science fiction fantasy writer.
Mm-hmm.
You can find I'm the author of the novelette The Spark, which
I have a copy of right over there.
Yeah. It's available through Heareth Publishing. You can go to my website and find all of my shenanigans. It's StephenCurro.com.
Yes.
StephenCurro.com.
Yes. You've got so many short stories there, some of which about dinosaurs, some of them not.
I have lots of little poems about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I have do I actually?
Did
yeah.
you publish that caveman story, or is that just a personal one?
I have not yet. Okay. It's getting close. I'm going to have it edited, and then I'm going to try to find a way to publish
that
it.
One's really cool. And it continues the proud tradition of Allosaurus being red.
Yes, of course. It's a law of the universe.
It is a law of the universe. Well,
I am working on a short story involving dinosaurs that hopefully I can have out in the world soon.
Yes, that'd be great. Also, I have another podcast called The Writ Wit, where two twits talk about writing, currently on indefinite hiatus, but might be coming back sometime. We'll see. I don't know. Depends on when I got a good idea for it. But anyways, that's it for this week. We'll see you at the end of our episode of Paleobites. Boom, boom. And I think it's only appropriate for the Thunder Wizard. Boom, boom. This thing should have been causing the water to ripple, not the T-Rex. Puny elephant weight T-Rex.
Fair point.
Makes for a gripping piece of cinema. Anyway.